So, you know when you get older, sometimes you have a difficult remembering things? Anyone else have that problem remembering things besides me? You know, my memory definitely is not as good as it used to be. You know, you can ask Christina. She can tell you, she can give you testimonies, right? She can tell you how many times I've forgotten things, and even just within a few minutes of telling me something. And I was kidding Glenn in the Sunday school this morning that he was trying to remember things and Carol was answering for him. And I says, I have that kind of same person that helps me remember things. And of course, I wrote down a bunch of things so I didn't forget them, right? So just this week, I was heading out. Christine asked me to put some gas in the car and pick up some milkshakes. And so, you know, being the good little hubby that I am, you know, I went out and I got those shakes and I got back home and we're drinking our chocolate shake, and she got one of the shamrock shakes. I don't like them, but she does. And we're watching a little TV and that so forth. So everything's cool. Went to bed. The next morning went to work, and I'm sitting at work and I get a phone call and I see my caller ID. It's Christina. She's on the phone. She's calling from her cell phone. And I answer the phone. And she was kind of somewhat in a panic. She goes, she asked me this question. Did you put gas in the car last night? She had driven from our house to Jen and John's house, which is about 25 miles. She went and picked up, I think, Kara and Callahan, right?
And took, went to the preschool.
Went to the preschool.
4 miles away.
Yeah, about 4 miles away. And on her way back from the preschool, she noticed that the gas light come on.
Oh, my God.
She didn't know how long it was on. But the gas light was on. Guess what I forgot to do? Yes. Two simple things to do. Get some gasoline and get some shakes. I got the important thing, I thought, I guess. The shakes were awesome. But she was in a panic, and I can understand that because, you know, she knew that I had put the gas in the car and that she had no problem. But unfortunately, I forgot. How can I not remember such an easy thing? I mean, it's not like I had to drive 10,000 miles out of my way. The gas station's right up the street, and I forgot. So according to some researchers, the brain remembers things visually better than it does written and verbal things. I guess I can attest to that because I forget a lot of verbal and written things. But there are some techniques to improve your memory. One of those techniques involves visualization and association. So when you learn of a word or a name, you're supposed to visualize something that resembles that word or written word. And that's supposed to help you remember that, to improve your memory. I haven't tried this yet, but I think if I do, I'll probably forget the visual thing that I was supposed to remember. I don't know. Something with the aging process, maybe just the lazy brainness, I don't know. But I forget a lot more than I used to. Well, about 6 years ago, I had taught a Wednesday night Bible study, and I used pictures to associate scriptures to help remind us of those verses. And I labeled that study God's Road Signs. I had pictures of different road signs, and they included scripture or two associated with a sign, with a verse. And, you know, I told my Sunday school class last week that I was going to teach that this morning. But as God would have it, he had another direction for me to go in. So I'm not going to talk about God's road signs this morning. I think I see a few disappointed faces in the crowd. I was really expecting maybe a little different reaction. Thought maybe some people would say, aww. Too late now. Or, you know, some other sign that they... What's that?
When you see the gas.
That's right. Make sure you see the gas light, right? Put the gas in the car.
Yeah.
It would never go wrong. And I thought maybe even somebody might start chanting, road signs, road signs, road signs. None of that happened. So I think what I want to do is I'm going to say that line again, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to participate. So when I say that, you know, I'm not going to talk about God's road sign this morning, I want everybody to say,
aww.
Why not? We'll do a count, one, two, three. To yourself and say, road signs, road signs. How's that sound? We're going to do that? You going to practice? Okay, I'm not going to do that this morning.
Road signs.
Ah, first. Ah. Then?
Rosa.
All right. Take two. We're going to do this for real now, right? Okay? I'll probably go back and edit this part out so you don't hear it, so it just sounds like we just went through this. All right? So, you know, this morning, I'm not going to talk about God's road signs.
Okay.
I'm not going to preach on it anyhow. What do you think you're at? You're a football game? Is that what you think you're at? I mean, how is it that you come to church and you're acting like this? That you can come to this place that's holy and reverent and you're chanting and you're heckling the speaker. How is that happening? This is not a football game. And that leads me to a very distinct point that I was trying to make with that. That one of the things that we should really do is to make sure we test what God tells us or what was being taught on any given day, whether it's Sunday school, Bible study, up here on an altar. We've always got to test what is going on because you never know where it's going to lead you. Now, how easy was it me for to just get you guys to go along with this and do your awe and do your chant, right? It was really easy, right? But there was a guy, his name was Jim Jones. And Jim Jones did some terrible things, right? He got a bunch of people to follow him all the way to northern Africa in a place called Guyana. Jonestown is what they called it, right? He got people to follow him there, to give everything they had to him just by instructing them because they didn't test God's word. They just blindly believed and led. And you should never do that. Never do it. Matter of fact, he was so good at what he did, he convinced not only 900 people to drink poison, he convinced them to give it to their children. That's how easily some people can be misled and blindly led if we do not test what's being taught. We have to test it every single time. Because, you know, the little fun we had this morning, we're not going down that path. But I wanted to make that point to let you know that you could easily fall into this trap of, well, just following this person. It's dangerous just to follow. You need to test people and what they do. And that's where they coined that phrase from, drink the Kool-Aid. Drink the Kool-Aid come from Jim Jones, who had convinced parents, fathers and mothers, to give their kids poison. So the reason I bring this up is so that we make sure we always test what it is that we are doing and what we're listening to and make sure that we test it. So if you could read Acts 7, verse 11, this will talk about what it is to test somebody who is preaching the Word of God.
Now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true.
Yeah, and we see here that these Berean Jews were of noble character. They were good people, right? Good people. It says they were more noble character than those in Thessalonica. And they had received Paul's teaching. He had been going around and teaching. And this is the Paul that we talk about that wrote most of the New Testament, right? That he traveled a lot of, I think it was Asia Minor in Europe, and preached to the Gentiles about the God's gospel message, right? The coming of Jesus Christ and how you can get to heaven by believing in him. And these people were listening to what he said. And how often did they test him? Every day. Not just the first day, not just the second day, but every day he tested them. They tested Paul's teaching to make sure that it was aligned with the scriptures they had at the time, right? And that's what we need to do as Christians. We got to make sure that whatever you're taught, you test it. You look at scripture. And that's why we put it up here. That's why we read it. That's why we went through the John 3:16 study a year or so ago, is that you only read that one verse, but you read the whole content of God's Word, and you've got to test it. I can't stress that enough, and we talk about that all the time here, that you need to check what is being taught, because sometimes men just get led astray. And you got to make sure that whatever is being taught to you is something that is of God and is of Scripture. So we need to test the scriptures all the time that we're taught. But I do have some good news for you. I am going to teach God's road signs, but I'm going to do it on Wednesday night. So there's going to be a little, giving a little plug for Wednesday night Bible study, 7 o'clock. Come join us. We're going to do God's road signs. And I kind of put up here a little example of what we're going to do. Just kind of whet your appetite a little. What I've done is taken like a one-way sign and assigned some scripture verses to it. Oops. Flashback. Flashback. So I don't know why the first one's missing. Something happened there. But anyhow, what I'm going to do for the next several weeks on Wednesday night is we're going to look at the different road signs. And it's putting that association together. You know, we all got here somehow. We either drove or walked. And we probably went past a street sign somewhere, whether it's a stop sign or one-way sign or whatever. And when we look at those, you kind of associate that with Scripture and say, you know, that sign reminds me of this verse. And that helps to do that visualization, how we can always stay fresh in God's Word and how we can always remember it. These are only three of the signs. I've got about like 30 signs with all kinds of scriptures to tie to it. So, hey, come Wednesday night, we'll talk about that. Hopefully we'll see a full church here downstairs, and we'll do that on Wednesday night. So come join us. This little fellow is somebody I talked about a couple weeks ago, and this is where my message is going today. We had talked a few weeks ago when I had given my last message. We talked about Christian chameleons, you know, and how can a Christian be a chameleon? Basically, is by their appearance as being a Christian. And just to give you an overview, we kind of looked at this guy and said, you know, on Sunday I blend in with the crowd with the other Christians, maybe for a couple hours, but the rest of the time, not so much. I'm blending in with the world. So, you know, you're kind of saying that, you know, I love you, Lord. I'm here with all my friends, and I'm being a great Christian guy. But then on Monday, I go to work, and I'm so Christian. And we talked about that. And we talked about how many people have an appearance of being a Christian. And they say one thing, but they do another. They look a lot like this fellow when he starts to blend in with the background. And in that message, I also included some scriptures. We talked about being the light of the world, that we're not like the chameleon who blends in when we go to work Monday. We're like the person who lets their light shine. And we spent a little time talking about light shine, but today I want to really talk about what it means to have your light shining through you. So today's message is going to be lighten up. That is my message. How many of you have been to a concert? Yeah, when I was a younger man, I went to a few concerts, REO Speedwagon, Journey, Styx, and one of my favorite concerts to go to was ZZ Top. Went to a couple of those, really like ZZ Top. Never been to a Pink Floyd concert, but probably a little more wild for my blood. But I went to a couple of those, and I remember being at a concert one time, and people got really moved, and they stood up and they had their Bic lighters at that time. A lot of people had these little Bic lighters and they lit them, right? And they also did the sway, you know, because it felt like they were really moving for some reason, that they felt really in tune with the band. So they had these lighters and they waved them. You know, and I thought about that because, you know, that was before there were cell phones when I went to some of those concerts and people did that. And I'm like, why do people have so many lighters? And that's because most of them smoked, right? Most of them smoked.
Something or other.
You know, I was going to say, and they were probably smoking something else. And I was thinking cigars, but I don't know why your minds were going somewhere else. I was thinking cigars. But yeah, it was pretty interesting. And I've been to some recent Christian concerts, and the same kind of thing happened, only they used their cell phones. You know, they turn the lights on their cell phones and they wave them and they're singing a song, and it just feels really neat. It feels like a special moment. You know, it feels like your light is shining, right? You're shining in that atmosphere. And that's what we're supposed to do every day of the week, 24/7, right? We're supposed to shine like that, like something special is going on, that we are have our light shining so other people see it. Because when you're in that venue and you see all the lights shining, it's just really amazing. It's moving, right? And that's the way we should be when our lights are shining, right? We should be moving people. People should be moved when they see us, and not be like that chameleon where you're just blending in the ground and nobody sees you, right? that you are seen, and not only that you're seen, that your light is shining. So we're going to talk more about today what that means to have your light shine. So if you read the next scripture verse, this one is Matthew 5, verses 14 to 16. And we're going to read two versions. The first version is NIV. So Sue, if you want to read that one.
You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, you light your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven.
Yeah, that's awesome, that we are the light of the world. You know, and it talks about putting it, you know, on top of a hill so it's not hidden, so that everybody sees it, right? Everybody sees that light. And the next scripture verse is the same one, but it is the Message. So if you want to read that one, Sue?
Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't know I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven.
Yeah, an NIV version is really great, but I really like this Message version. And it really, it's funny because it says we're going public, you know? It's a statement of we're doing this definitely, right? We are not going to be timid about our Christian faith. We're not going to be timid about showing that we love God. We're going public, man. We're going out there because anybody can let their line shine in this building, right? In these four walls, it's easy for us to say to one another, oh, we love you, we love you, we love you, that we can come here and encourage and strengthen and encourage people not to smoke.
No names.
But we want to make sure that our light's shining not only in these four walls, but our light is shining when we go out in the world. So what does that mean when we go out to the world and let our light shine? And I really like what it says here is that we're bringing out the colors of God's colors into the world. We're bringing out God's colors into the world. And light is a pretty amazing thing. Light has a band or a spectrum. And I don't know if you know this, but light actually has a frequency to it. It's got a band of frequency. And a frequency is a resonating, alternating current. And we think about things like radio stations. If you listen to K-Love, it's on 98.3, right? Well, that 98.3 isn't just a number they pulled out of a hat. That 98.3 means they're at 98.3 megahertz, and that's where they're transmitting from. Well, actually, light is actually a transmission. It has a frequency range. It has a band of frequency. And within that band of frequency, it contains all the colors in a light spectrum. It's pretty amazing. You can prove this by a prism. Anybody know what a prism is?
Yep.
Seen those? There's a picture of a prism. Yeah, this kind of reminds you of Pink Floyd, right?
Yeah.
And as you can see, light, it's white, it's white. And as it enters the prism, it kind of bends. And once it gets into the prism and comes out, it bends again. And each one of those frequencies of color bend at a different rate. So that this light that is white actually consists of all those colors. And I think that's truly an amazing thing. Matter of fact, kind of repeat the words of Star Trek, the great Spock. I know he's not scriptural. You know, he's out there with Hezekiah somewhere, right?
He's kind of great, though.
Yeah. But he says that word, fascinating. I find this fascinating. This light that comes through here actually contains all those colors. So when we have God's light shining through us, it should bend, it should turn, and people should see all the colors of God. They should see all the colors of God. And what are those colors? Those colors are like compassion, love, grace, forgiveness, right? Lending a helping hand, you know, being a person who lifts up and encourages and prays. Those are all God's colors. And when that light that God provides through us, it gets bent and sent out, and it shows the whole array of God and His love. So prisms are a neat thing. Light is an amazing thing. And where there is light, there is no what? Darkness. They cannot exist in the same space. And this is a dark world that we live in, right? There's a lot of darkness out there. So we've got to go out and displace that darkness. We've got to let our light shine. We've got to go out there and show this full color of God, that He loves these people. He does. To the deepest sinner, He loves them. And we need to be the kind of people that lets God's light shine through us, that people, when they look at us, they don't see us. They see God. They see Christ. They don't see us. So that's what the light does. The light gives them an opportunity. Gives them an opportunity to say, something's different about that person. That person is going through such a struggle. Why are they still smiling? Why do they have this attitude that everything's going to be all right? Because we know, when I was believers, we have confidence in Christ and in God and in the Holy Spirit, that we can get through anything. I mean, you see this at funeral homes all the time. People who are not believers, it's a sad day. It's a sad day. But when you go to someone who's been a believer and a family's a believer, it's a much different atmosphere, right? We're seeing colors in those places. We're seeing people who are, yes, going through a grieving process, and it's right that we do that. But they also know that loved one is residing in heaven. And it makes such a big difference, doesn't it? It makes a huge difference when you know that people love the Lord and they know that they have a destiny that is just going to be one that there's no pain and suffering. That's going to be awesome at that time. So this is what it means when we shine our lights. Not that we only show a white light coming through us, one little thing, that we show all of God's love through all of God's colors in here. And we need to go public with that. We don't need to keep it within these four walls. You don't need to keep them within the four walls of your home. You need to be out in the world, shining your light, showing God's colors. Okay, so one of the things is, how do we get that light to shine through us? Does it just like happen one day you wake up and you got like this light beaming out from all ends of you, right? Does it happen that way? It doesn't, right? It's actually a something that we do, that God has provided for us, a way to shine His light. And so if you could read the next scripture in 1 John 4, verses 7 through 16.
Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in and He is in us. He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them.
So, the source comes from God, right? Because love comes from God. That's what it says up in the scripture up there. It says, love comes from God. So He is the source of our light. It comes from Him. He gave us an example of His love. But before I go there, is it possible for somebody who's an atheist to love people?
Yes.
It is, isn't it? Somebody who's an agnostic, they can love people, right? It's not the same, is it? It's not the same. So you don't have to be a Christian to love somebody, to lend a hand, give an encouraging word. But you know, it's a little different when we're Christian, right? Because that's who John's writing here to, right? He's writing to the church, to God's people, right? To believers. He's not writing this to non-believers. And it seems almost oxymoron that we have to be told that we love people, right? Because when we accepted Christ, that was the ultimate love, that God had sent his son to die for us, right? And it says that if we confess it, we confess that his son died for our sin, that we will have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us. So God gave us this example of how to love. He showed us his love when he sent his only son, Jesus, to die for those who believe so they would have life through him, even though we do not deserve it. You know, how many believers would give their lives for people that they don't like? How many people would give their children's lives for people they don't like? When we as Christians are showing God's love, we're not sacrificing that way, but he showed us how much he loved us by sacrificing that way. He calls us to love one another, to help one another, to lift up one another, to spread the gospel message. So we need to continue to pray for people. We need to give our time. We need to encourage. We need to do this. And when we do it, who do we give the recognition to? We give it to the Father, right? We give it to God. God gets the glory. And people like who may be atheists, they can certainly love people, but who do they give the glory to? Themselves. And that's the difference. That's the difference. When your light shines through you and people see that love of God in you, it's not you that's doing it. It's God who's working through you. He blesses through you. He works through you. You just allow him to use you as a conduit, to let his love flow through you with all those colors that come out that the world sees. And they want to be like that. They want to know why you're like that. So God is the source of light, and that's how we get God's light to shine through us, by accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and to then allow the Holy Spirit to work within us, to move us, to drive us, to do these things for God so that he gets the glory. So the light shines with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So you just don't wake up one day and say, you know, my light is shining, without doing anything. You have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And believe me, that will change your life forever. It will. You know, one of the things it says here is that everyone who confesses Jesus is God's son. And in that version it says they participate continuously. So this isn't like a part-time job. This is not like come to church for 2 hours and practice your Christianity, right? This is continuous. And not only is it continuous, but it's intimate. God, Jesus, wants to know you. He wants to spend time with you. But we have to confess it first. We have to put ourselves aside. We have to put that old way aside. And we've got to declare that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that I believe it, that he died for my sin, that the only way to heaven is to believe in him, that he died for my sin, that he was resurrected, and that I will be resurrected one day, and I will be in the kingdom of heaven. And that's the only way we can do that. And we've got to confess that, not only with our mouths, but with our hearts. We've got to confess that Jesus died for our sin. And that's when the light will start coming into your life. So we need to continually participate in this intimate relationship. It's a daily walk, a daily intimate relationship. It's a relationship that is more than just a friendship, or in the other verse we read, just acknowledging that Christ exists. It's a non-stop walk with Jesus every day, in everything you do and everywhere you go. You know, it's not kind of like a tag team, right? You know, I'm not spending time with Christ and I go over to Mike and say, hey Mike, you're in. It's not tag team wrestling, right? That's not what this is. Mike, it's your turn. Go ahead. I'm going to go out and do something else. I'm going to go blend in with the world. I'm going to do the worldly things. That's what this is like. This is not worldwide wrestling. Maybe you're wrestling in the spiritual warfare. You know, because certainly Satan tries to tempt you and stuff. But we're not in this part-time. This is not a tag team event. This is a personal relationship with every single person. And it's not time to take a break and say, we're walking away. Somebody else is going to do it. So when we make Jesus Lord of our life, that is when our light shines. And other people see Him living in us and through us. There's only one way to make Jesus Lord of our life, and that is to confess we are sinners, that Jesus is God's Son, that He came as a man, and He lived amongst us, was crucified for my sin and your sin, crucified and was resurrected, conquering death, so that we may have eternal life. That is what we Christians call being born again, right? And you hear that term, born again. That's one of those Christian words, just like letting your light shine. That is when God lives in us and we live through Jesus. The Holy Spirit takes permanent residence inside of us. He's just not here today for a couple hours. He's going to be with you when you walk out the door. So today I'm going to pass out some things. I brought some glow sticks. Right? And my life was a lot like this glow stick at one point. Not shining any light. Kind of looks dead. And I was just going through my life. Living life my own way, go my own direction. And I was thinking everything was fine. God was constantly wooing me, though, to come to Him. And my mom prayed for me a lot, and others prayed for me. Eventually, I start living my life the way I wanted, and it was starting to weigh on me. It was starting to bend. And one day, I accepted Jesus Christ. And that broken man who had the burden of the world felt upon his shoulders started to have his light shine. Just like the stick is starting to glow. So Jesus Christ will live through you if you allow Him. If you accept Him. And like this glow stick that is starting to glow, it's usually when we are broken is when we finally accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So if you know people that are, I don't want to call them dimwits, but if their light's not shining, and maybe they're coming to a life where they're starting to feel broken, it's an opportunity for each of us to start talking to that person and introduce them to the Christ so they will also have their light shine, and that they will repeat the same process when they see somebody. They will be able to witness to them. So I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward here. I've got glow sticks for everybody. And what I want you to do with this glow stick is I don't want you to crack it right away. I want you to reflect on your lives. Think about your life and where you are today. Think about, you know, have I always been a Christian? Maybe you haven't made that commitment yet today. So I would suggest that you don't crack that. Now, I don't know exactly how this thing works, but I assume there's chemicals in there. When you break it, you can hear the separator, whatever it is, that is in between or that's keeping those chemicals apart. But once they come together, they start creating a chemical reaction and the light starts to glow. Well, Jesus knocks at everybody's door. And that thing between us and God is that like barrier in this glow stick. But if we open that up and we break that barrier and we allow Him to come on alive, this is what happens. So if you've really committed your life to Christ and you made Him Lord of your life, I would suggest you go ahead and crack your glow sticks. Well, praise the Lord. Lots of cracks going on here. You a bunch of crackpots or what? You know what's pretty amazing about this? I don't, some people have come here and we have a candlelight service on Christmas Eve. And it's really awesome. You know, we have our service. It's at night. It gets pretty dark, of course, because it's night. And we pass out candles to everybody. And at the end of the service, everybody gets their candles and they line the walls here and they stand in a big circle. And one by one, we take the light from the altar and we pass it to one another. our light being spread around the whole room. And it's almost like that, talking about that event when you're raising your cell phone and you're in that moment. You know, it's a really special moment in that Christmas Eve service when we're singing the Silent Night and you see the light spreading all around the room, and eventually all get lit and people are singing. It's a really awesome moment. But shortly after that, people blow out their candles. They have a closing kind of word or two, and we walk out the door. That is not how we should live our Christian lives. Our lives should not be just shining when we're in a Christmas Eve service or any service. This glow stick, I don't know how long it's going to last. It's going to shine for a while. But I can tell you this, that if you walk out that door, it's still going to be glowing, right? We should still be glowing as well. Our light, those colors that God gives us, should also be glowing as we go out these doors and we go into the world where we're going to go display some darkness. So let your light shine. Let it shine brightly. And I apologize if somebody got one and cracked it. It didn't work. We got these at the dollar store, so it looks like everybody's is working. You don't always get the best things at the dollar store. And yours is under a bushel. And that's one other thing, is that we shouldn't take this and stick it away where nobody sees it, right? It's got strings on it. Robin's got hers tied around her neck, and it's hanging there, right? You know, and it says in Scripture that God doesn't give us the light to put under a bushel. And if we do that, what does that tell us about our Christian lives? Are we ashamed of God? Are we ashamed of Him? Are we afraid to tell people we're Christians? Are we? Do we live our life like we are Christians? So we should never put this light under where somebody won't see it, because what's still going to exist? A darkness. The darkness is still going to be there. So we as God's people who have this shining light, it's not to be put away somewhere where you can't see it, right? It should be up high where people see it, right? Like up on that hill he talked about. So as you leave this place today, let your light shine. And I pray that, like this glow stick, that you may continue to shine when you leave this place. God is counting on us. God is counting on us to be the light of the world, to show His love, to show people that He loves them. And that is up to us. It's our job. It's our job that we are to go into the world and show His light. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank You and praise You for this day, Lord. I thank You for just this awesome assembly here that we have come here just to just encourage one another, help one another, just come to learn more about You and what it is to be a Christian and how we can affect other people's lives, Lord. And Lord, it doesn't happen by accident, but it happens by a plan, by Your divine plan. And we just pray that, Lord, that everyone here today, and those who may be listening to this message online, that they will just come to share Your light, share Your word, share Your love with the dark world who desperately needs You and so desperately needs to hear the gospel message. So Lord, I just pray for each one of us that we will have the courage of David, the wisdom of Solomon, just the desire of Peter, just to go and do and be Your light and let it shine. And as we always say here, and we repeat the words of St. Francis of Assisi, that we'll go out and preach the gospel message, and if necessary, use words. So Lord, as we leave this place today, Lord, we just pray that You will just empower us, strengthen us, allow us the Holy Spirit to work through us, so that we can be a beacon of light into the world, and that other people will come to know You. And for all these things, I praise You and thank You in Jesus' most holy name, and all God's people said,